Tonight's shiur is on Parshas Yisro, and of course, there are many things that happen in Parshas Yisro, and one of those things is Matan Torah, and the Aseres HaDibros are given over. So I was thinking about different possibilities for shiurim, and Kibra Ve'im just stuck out. So tonight we're going to focus the shiur on Kibra Ve'im, not really the halachic aspects of Kibra Ve'im, but more the philosophy of Kibra Ve'im. And we're going to do an interesting Gemara, and we'll see how things turn out. So the Pasuk, the first source, is the Pasuk from the Aseres HaDibros, and Miriam's going to read, if she doesn't mind.
Okay.
Famous Pasuk.
Kavirat avicha batimecha, l'man yarichon yimecha, al hadzma, asher Hashem alakecha notin lach.
Okay, so the first pasuk. Before we ask any questions, I just want to do all the factual sources of Kibud Avim in the Torah. So the first source is that you should honor your father and your mother, so that you have a long life on this earth or on this land, which Hashem has given you. Okay, so that's the first source for Kibud Avim, and it's mentioned in another place. The other place is Va'eschanan, where the Aseres HaDibros are given over again. And if you look at number 2, the source is Kabiris Avicha Ve'asimecha. So you should honor your father and your mother, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as God has commanded you, Laman Yarichun Yamecha, in order that you have a long life, Laman Yitavlach, and in order that it be good for you, Al Hadama, on this land, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lach, that Hashem has given you. And the last source, which isn't really Kibud Avim, but it's Yira, Moras Avim, comes from Parshas Kedoshim. So Ilana Har just walked in, and I'm going to put her on the spot. Can you look at number 3? I just want you to read the Pasuk.
Sure.
It's a famous Pasuk. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that every man has to fear their mother and their father, and they have to keep Shabbos, for I am Hashem, your God. So we have the mitzvah, the two main mitzvahs I say with regard to your parents are kibud and mora. Can anybody give me examples of kibud, of kavod in halacha, before I move forward? What's kavod? Give me an example of kavod.
Standing up.
Standing up. Good. One idea of kavod is standing up for your parents. What else would be kavod? So serving your parents, right? Food. Bringing your father a nice cup of coffee would be kavod. You know, putting the plates on the table would be kavod. So really serving your parents is kavod. And what about yira? What's an example of yira halachically?
Not sitting in your father's seat.
All right, not sitting in your father's seat. What else? These are just examples, not all halachas. What else?
Not answering for them.
Right, you're not supposed to be crass with them. You shouldn't be soser them. You shouldn't contradict them. You also shouldn't say your father's name in certain situations. Okay, so that's kavod and yira. But the main questions, the two main questions on the psukim is, question number 1 is, what is the philosophy of kibud avim? Why would Hashem be mechayev us to be mechabed and to be miyare our parents? What's the idea behind it? And the other question is, what's the promise of l'man yarichun yamecha? By other commandments in the Torah, tzivuim in the Torah, it doesn't often tell us the reward, but in this one it tells us the reward, that you'll have a long life. So what's the connection between having a long life and the mitzvah of Kibud Avim? Why is Kibud Avim any more connected to a long life than any other mitzvah? Because all mitzvahs supposedly give man the good. So those are the two main questions. Before we go forward, why do you think that there's a mitzvah of Kibud Avim before we go forward? Why are we chayav to give kavod to our parents?
Maybe it's kind of like it kind of teaches man about having a relationship. Like, it's kind of a physical, a tangible representation of how it's related to God.
Okay. So, Alana's going to start the shiur off with a possibility. The possibility is that Kibud Avim is a tangible platform in order to relate to God. Okay, so we're going to see how that works out, you know? Anybody else have a possibility? There are very common reasons given. Any other? Why would you be chayv to honor your parents?
I mean, I was going to say what Alana said, but, like, for Yarich and Yamin, it could be, you know, like, your kids also. They're your continuation of you, so.
Okay, but why would they have a long life?
Well, that's the equivalent of a long life, having your kids, you know.
Oh, you mean they're gonna? You mean they're gonna follow in your footsteps?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll see. We'll see what the Gemara say about this. Okay. So the main Gemara on Kibbud Av Aim, on the philosophy of Kibbud Av Aim, is a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Amud Beis, and I think it's a mighty strange Gemara. So we're gonna do it inside. I guess I'll read the Gemara. So the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. So our rabbis taught Ne'amar. It says in the pasuk. By Yisro, Kabedus Avicha Vesimecha, that you should honor your father and your mother. V'namar, and it says in Mishle, Kabed Es Hashem Mehonecha, that you should honor Hashem with all your substance. Mehonecha means all your substance. So the Gemara says, Hishva HaKasuv Kibud Av Aim L'Chavad HaMakom. So the Gemara is saying, based on the similarities between the two psukim, that honoring your parents is similar to honoring God. It's hishva, they're equal. Okay, so if you go on in the Gemara, in number 4, it says, Ne'amar ish imo aviv tiro, so that's kedoshim, so a person's supposed to fear their parents. The Ne'amar, and it says, Es Hashem elokecha tiro ve'oso savod, and we should fear Hashem, and he's the person that we should worship, or he's the being that we should worship. Hishva hakasuv moras av ve'im l'moras hamakom. So once again, the Torah is comparing. There's some type of similarity between fear of God and fear of your parents. They're shave in some sense. Okay, and the last one is Nemar. It says mekalal aviv imo mosimos. So if a person curses their parents, they end up getting killed with skila. V'namar, and it says, Ish ish ki kalel elokov v'nasa cheto. And it says that a person who's mekalel Hashem, he has to bear the burden of his sin, and he also gets killed. So there's a similarity there. Hishva kasav birkas avaim lebirkas hamakom. Sometimes the Gemara uses klala as bracha, it's like lashon naki, but it means that there's a similarity between cursing your parents and cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Aval b'haka, but with regard to hitting, vada yefshar. You can't make a comparison. Why can't you make a comparison with hitting your parents and hitting God?
Because God's not physical.
Right, because God's not physical. So if you look at Rashi, he says, vada b'haka yefshar lahakisha. You can't make a hekesh, she'in haka klape mala. There's no idea you can't hit God. It's impossible. Okay? Okay, and the Gemara goes on, v'chein bedin. And really, you don't need the psukim to teach you this. It's a logical hekesh. You can learn this out logically. So even if you didn't have these psukim that are similar, you could learn out logically that there's a comparison between respecting and fearing and not cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and your parents. Okay, why? Sheshloshtan shutvinbo. Because all three are partners in him. Okay, what does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, number 5, he says, V'chein bedin, so too, bedin means logically, you can learn it out just without the psukim. Sheyukshu l'chibud u'mora ala bein, that you can make a hekesh by kibud and mora on the son, sharei af hein shutfin l'makumbo, because the parents are shutfin, they're partners with God with regard to him. And what does this mean? What does it mean, partners? So if you look at the last Rashi, explains it. So it says, shlosha shutfin hein, so mefarish bebraisa b'maseches nida. So it says in Nida, Ish Mazria Loven, so the man provides the white, Shabo, Isha Mazres Odem, so she provides the red, Shabo, Vakarish Baruchu, Huno Feach Bo Neshama, God provides the Neshama, the soul, Mare Ayin, the sight, Ushmias Ozin, and hearing, Vidibor, and the ability to speak. So what Rashi is referring to is this idea that the husband and the wife and God are all partners in the creation of an individual. Okay? So the question is, before we move on, what does it mean that they're similar, right? In what sense are they similar? Honoring your parents and honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also, why does the fact that they created you, why does that warrant Kavod and Yira? Okay? So, let me explain the question a little bit further. But we have to take one more step before we get into the questions, one step by step. So if you look at number 6, the Rambam, he actually brings this down l'halacha in Hilchos Mamrim. So, Miriam, do you mind reading number 6?
Sure. Kivud Avim mitzvah aseh gdula, v'chein mora avim, shekol asan hakatov, v'chvodo u'mora.
Okay, so stop. So Kivud Avim is a great mitzvah, and so is Yirah from your father. He means father and mother, and Mora Avaim, Shako Osana Kasa Bechvodo Moro. So the Psukim, they make them equal with respecting and fearing God. Go on. Okay, so it says that you should respect your parents, and also says that you have to respect God with all your substance. Okay. So it says also by Yira, there's a comparison between fearing your parents and fearing God. So in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands a person to give respect to him, so too, and fear, so too he commands man to give respect and fear to his parents. Okay? So all this is pretty much the Rambam is just like the Gemara. He doesn't have the Mekalel part, but he's pretty much the same as the Gemara. Okay. So the reason why I brought in the Rambam is because I'm going to ask a question from the Rambam himself. So I just wanted to show you that the Rambam agrees with this Gemara, and he actually brings it down in the Mishnah Torah. Okay? So what are the questions? Let's just break down the questions a little bit further. Okay? So we say that... Does anybody have any questions on this Gemara before we move forward? Any specific questions? Let me ask you guys the question, okay? Why do we give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general? Why do we give...
He created us.
Okay, he created us. Okay. What about that? Demands kavod.
I mean, you would think it's more hard to tov. But, I mean, my question is, if we're saying that the idea of not hating God isn't applicable to God,
yeah,
it's not physical, then, and we know God doesn't need anything from us.
Okay.
Right? We're doing it for ourselves. Then... why do we have then? What's the mitzvah of kavod?
What do you mean? Okay. Well, let me just ask your question differently. But I was gonna go step by step. But one question is, the Gemara is comparing kavod of your parents to kavod of God. You know. So in what sense are they similar? So from the standpoint of how you demonstrate kavod to your parents, there's no similarity between how you demonstrate kavod to your parents and how you demonstrate kavod to God. Why? Because by your parents, you feed them, you serve them. You don't really feed God. You don't really serve God in that manner. That's not a demonstration of kavod to God. And also, you stand up for your parents, but we don't really stand up, I guess, in tefillah, but we don't really stand up for God. It's not really defined as like a maisa kavod for God. But they're really, in terms of maisa kavod, it's not really the same in terms of actions. But also, I would say that why do we give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I would think that the idea is that we see his wisdom in the world, and we see his wisdom in creation. Right. But the fact that he's a creator is not why we give him kavod. It's because we see in his creation his greatness. And his greatness is what demands kavod, right? So it's not just the fact that he created the world, but it's the fact that when we see the world that he created, we see that it reflects wisdom and it reflects incredible abilities and midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why it demands kavod. If you saw anything that you were in awe, that you were wowed by, and you thought it took a tremendous ability to, you know, to create, so then you would naturally give kavod. You give respect to that, you know, to that being. Or like the President of the United States, we give respect to the President of the United States because we realize that he has a tough job, and that in order to do a good job, it takes a lot of ability. So too over here, by the fact that God is the creator, it's true, is the source of our kavod, but it's not just the fact that he created us, it's also the fact that we see the world that he created and reflects a certain wisdom as the creator, right? So how do you compare that to an individual or your parents? Because it's not like your parents were involved in an incredible chachma or wisdom in creating you. They didn't go through a process of, or you don't see really in the from the parents the chachma that they were engaged in order to create you. From God, you look at the world and you see his creations and you say, wow, these creations are incredible, you know? But your it reflects on his wisdom. But by your parents, they don't really plan, you know, with chachma and with wisdom. Their involvement is purely physical. It's not really through chachma in terms of creating you. So how do you compare the two? In other words, in what sense are they similar? So I would say, and the question is, on the one hand, you can't serve God in the same manner, in the same exact manner as you serve a human being. And also, the reason why we give kavod to God is different than the reason why we give kavod to your parents. Because we give kavod to God because we see his might and we see his greatness. But your parents, you know, it's true they created you, but there's no real chachma, I would say, in your parents' involvement in your creation. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, maybe not in your physical creation, like actually making you a physical being, but in raising you and bringing you up as a person.
Okay. Well, what if they did a bad job? That's going to be the next question, okay?
Do you have to give kibbutz at your parents?
Oh, that's a good question. So we're going to get to that. That's one of the questions. That's part of the...
Did someone just say for, like, how your parents brought you up?
What did you say?
Did someone just say for, like, the way your parents
yeah.
raised you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because I was but, thinking the same thing.
But then I said, what happens if they did a bad job?
Well,
right.
And what happens if the way they raised you doesn't reflect any wisdom? You know, they just raised you, you know, improperly. You know, what happens in that case? Actually...
I would say, like, a reflection... Like, I was actually just talking to my mom, saying, like, how I appreciate, like, the values my parents taught me, so, like, I have respect for them for that.
Okay, but let's say they didn't teach you those values, so you still chayev to give them kavod. In fact, we're going to get to it later. I didn't bring it in, actually, on the sheet, but the Rambam brings down openly that if your parents are a Rasha, you're still chayev to be mechaved them and to be miyari them. So, you know, you're not really respecting them for any great wisdom or any... Chachma, and it's the opposite. Even if your parents are Rishonim and they're evil people and they didn't raise you properly, you're still chayav to respect them. So what's the comparison? It's the same question. What's the comparison between respecting God and respecting your parents?
But at the same time, if your parent tells you to sin, you don't listen to them.
If your parents tell you to sin, right, that's a good question also. You're saying Miriam's saying that if your parents ask you to sin, you don't listen to them. Right, because we say that God's covenant for God takes precedence. So we're saying that really they're not completely similar. There is a superiority of God's covenant over your parents' covenant, which is a good question.
Right.
But the main question that we want to focus on in terms of explaining this Gemara is the comparison. In other words, what's the comparison by kibbutz, right? That's one question. All right? Do you accept the questions or... Okay. What about Yira? Okay? So, what's Yira Hashem? What is Yira Hashem? What does that mean? Anybody?
I feel like you can't have kibbutz without Yira. They exist together.
Kibud without Yira. But what is Yira Hashem? Answer that question. What is Yira?
When you're learning about the wisdom of God, for example, if you're studying biology, so there's an amazement of what God did, but there's also an awe.
Okay.
About how there's so many things that work together.
Did you learn this in high school? You sound like you're knowledgeable of this this Rambam, which is the next Rambam that we're going to take up. But no, but my sister is correct. In the sense that Yira, true Yira Hashem, is really based on God's wisdom. So the Rambam, he puts Ava and Yira together, and he says that when a person studies creation, one thing is that he'll strive for more knowledge and he'll love the Creator, but the other idea is that it'll produce a certain awe within him. So Yira Hashem, so let's do it inside, in the Rambam, okay? So the Rambam is number 7, and I think we've done this Rambam before. It's a famous Rambam. It's Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. So, Alana, do you mind reading number 7? All right, so how do you love and fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
B'sha'ah she'itbonen ha'adam b'ma'asav u'b'ru'av ha'nifla'im ha'gdolim yir'ah mehen chachmato she'en la orach ve'en lo kitz miyad hu ohev u'meshabeach u'mefa'er u'mitaveh ta'ava gdola lida Hashem ha'gadol kimo she'amar David tzama nafshi le'lokim l'kel chai.
Okay, so stop. So he says that when a person understands and he sees all the great creations and their wondrous nature, so and he sees the chachma, he sees the wisdom behind creation, and that there's no bounds to that wisdom, so immediately it should produce a love and a desire to praise the Creator, and it should produce a great drive to gain more knowledge about God. Like David says, "Sama nafshi lelokim," that my nefesh, my soul thirsts for Hakadosh Baruch Hu lekel chai. Go on.
Ukishem mechashev b'dvarim ha'ilu atzman miyad hu nirtal achorav v'pachet v'yodea shehu b'riyak tana shvila afila omedet b'da'at kala me'utel lefnei tamim da'ot.
Okay, so and then once he perceives that, there should be a fear there. And he should recognize his smallness and that he has very little knowledge before the perfect intelligence. Okay, go on, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Kimo she'amar David, ki ere shmecha ma'asei atzvotecha ma enosh ki tizkeranu.
Right, like David says that when he sees the ma'asei atzvotecha and he sees God's works. So he says, Ma Enosh, what is man that Hashem should mention man? Meaning man is nothing before God. Okay, so the end he's saying that he in the future chapters he's going to explain basically creation and nature, and he's going to try to spark that Ava and the Yira. But, so why did I bring this Rambam in? Because we asked the question on Kavod. What's the comparison between Kavod? What about Yira? I mean, the idea the Rambam's saying about Yira Sashem, it seems to be tied, once again, to the idea of seeing God's wisdom in creation. So it's not just the fact that God created us, but it's the fact that we see the wisdom in His creations. So what does that have to do with fearing our parents? Because our parents, we don't really see. Should we have an awe of our parents? I mean, we don't really see. Let's say they're evil, first of all. But second of all, in terms of their creation or their act of creation, we don't really see any real chachma, any real astounding, wondrous things that would result in awe. And I mean, there's another yira that the Rambam talks about. I didn't bring it in, but the Rambam talks about the yiras onesh and yiras chait. Yiras onesh, that there's a fear of God from the standpoint of fearing punishment, but also with your parents. I mean, the fact that they created you, now you're a 30-year-old person, you know, should you still be afraid of them or afraid of their punishment? Or why should you still be afraid of their punishment? It's not like they have real power over you. It's not like the same power as God has over you. So what exactly is the comparison between Yira Hashem and Yira of your parents? Why does the Gemara say that they're Shaveh? There's Hishva Hakasa. Okay? Yes. Possibility.
Wait, your parents are exhibit A of what God created.
Okay.
Because you're looking at the world and you have awe for everything that God created.
Okay.
Right? Well, your parents were part of that also. Your parents, so God created your parents everyone. Also.
So yeah, so they're also chayv to be mechabed their parents. It goes back all the way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But, like, back to the connection between having kavod in your
God.
It's important
that then, you should have fear of everyone and everything.
Why yeah, but you have a direct connection to your parents. So it makes it closer.
All right, we're having a debate here. I don't know if people can hear on the phone. But I just, on Alana's point in the beginning, she said it's a platform, you know, to, I guess, being Mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being Miyarehim. But I don't really understand how it's a platform because they're dissimilar in the sense that your kavod for God stems from what
just you... Just for man to understand the relationship of, like, someone being... Is kind of yourself somewhat subservient to another figure.
Yeah, but why? But there's a reason why you're subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason is because he is all powerful. He is omniscient. Because you see his chachma. You know, those are reasons why. I mean, those are the reasons why we give kavod. We say Havu Lasha. We just did in Tehillim.
If there wasn't chachma to bring you to the world, they still did enable you to come to the world and see all that chachma.
Okay, but let's say. I mean, once we're going to run into the same question. Let's say they're evil, you know, they're Rasha.
They still got you here.
Okay, but that doesn't make that fine. So you give them a thank you, a yashikach, you know, thank you for creating me. But why does that demand every time they walk into the room, you have to stand up for them? Why Yira? Why do you have to be in all of them, or at least treat them as if you're afraid of them? You know, why? That's a basic question, right? All right. Just to the point that we were talking about before we answer the question. Before we answer that question, the question seems to just to strengthen the question. The idea of your parents being not being the best people in the world, but you're still chayv to be mechabi them. We have a story from the Gemara. It's a famous story, and the story is actually not even about a Jew. It's about a non-Jew. His name was Dama ben Nesina. And he's a famous non-Jew, and he was exemplified for his kavod and yira of his parents. So you have this famous story, if you look at number 8. So it says, Ki asa Rav Dimi, so Rav Dimi says, Omar, Pam achas hayalavush serukin shal zav. So Dama ben Nesina, if you look at Rashi, in number 9, he says, Pam achas hayalavush, who was it? Dama ben Nesina. So he was wearing lavush shikorin sindar. So it was some type of cloak that was golden. V'haya Yoshev ben Gedolei Romi. He was sitting amongst the great people of Rome, the great senators of Rome. Uvasa imo. His mother came. V'karaso mimenu. She tore off his garment. V'tafchalo al rosho. V'yarkalo befanov. She ended up spinning in front of him. V'lo echlima. And he held back from embarrassing her. So it's a famous story. So you see from this, what do you see from this story? That even if your parent does something improper to you, you still are chayav to give them kavod and yira. So you see that your parents don't necessarily have to be perfected people. They can be evil people. In fact, some of Farshim say that in this story, the mother was had a dementia. And they are mefarish the story that way. But you see that even if your parent has dementia and they're crazy and they're antagonistic towards you, you're still chayv to be mechabed them and miyari them. So this strengthens the question as to what the connection is between yira and kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and yira and kavod of your parents. Because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's incredible wisdom and there's goodness. But by your parents, they could be people who are completely devoid of intelligence. They're demented people. And they could be antagonistic, but yet there's still a mila, there's still an idea of giving them archiv, to give them kavod and yira. So what's the comparison between the two? Right?
Another option is that, do you want me to get possibilities or no?
What? The same kind of story happened with me and my mother, by the way. And I've been having nightmares about it since a young child.
I think the fact that the parents are evil all the time.
No, I'm just bringing in, of course my parents were great, and they were great parents, and they raised me properly, and that's why I turned into the person that I am today. But the case of the Gemara is clearly a case where the parents, where the mother, especially the mother, was crazy, and she was antagonistic. So the question is, obviously, so what's the comparison? And like I said before, I didn't bring in the Rambam, but it's an open Rambam. It's Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Vav, Halach Yid Aleph. The Rambam mentions that even if your parents are Rishayim, Gemurim, you're still chayiv to be mechabi them and be miyari them. Okay, so we got to get to the answer here, right?
Okay,
no, no, please, Miriam, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that that in a sense, God played the same role to Adam and Chava that the parent plays to the child. So there you have the connection.
If they're good parents, what if they're bad parents?
But
what if
any parent feeds the kid. If your parents leave you, then you don't have anyone to give Chava and Yira to. But like a parent feeds the child and clothes the child, and God does that to Adam and Chava also, and you know, place to live and like donated.
But then you're saying it's an idea in like a Karsa Tov, basically, which is fine. You can say that. But I don't. If you say Akar Satov, which one of, we're going to see is okay. one of the answers given, I don't understand why Akar Satov also demands Yira. I understand maybe Kavod. Let's say somebody saves your life, you know? Like, you're chayv to not sit in their seat, you know? Like, I understand Kavod, that you want to give thanks to the person for saving your life. So every time, you know, you see them, you give them honor. But Yira is kind of strange. You know, somebody, if somebody pulls you out of a river, now you can't, you're in awe of them, and you can't say their name, you know, anymore. That's, to me, as an idea of Hakar Satov, is a strange idea, you know? I understand Kavod, but Yira is strange. Okay, so let's get to the answer, or a possibility. Anybody else want to try, anybody on the phone line want to try a possibility? Or have any questions on the questions? Alright, so I'm going to use the Rambam as a... what the Rambam says by Yira, maybe as to try to use it as a basis for the answer. So the idea of creation is, we said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that creation reflects his wisdom. So from the standpoint of comparing the parents to God, it doesn't make sense. You can't really compare the two, because like we said, your parents could be Rishayim. They don't really reflect, it doesn't really reflect any Chachma on their part that they, you know, that they created you. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's totally different. But from the standpoint of you, from the standpoint of the individual, what is a person called when they're created? They're called a Nivra. They're called a created being, right? And you see from the Rambam in number 7 that one of the platforms for a true Yira is the idea of recognizing or seeing yourself as a Nivra. Because it says, like the Rambam says, he says, Miyad hu nirsa la'acharav, in the middle of 7, the fachid, he gets afraid, the odea, he knows, hu beria kitana, he's a small created being, he's a small creation. So, I want to propose a possibility. The possibility is that a person, when a person recognizes that they're a created being, they're able to compare themselves to others. And if you look around yourself, you see that there are other created beings, everything is created. So what does that do to a person when they see that? It puts you in the right perspective. Meaning, a person oftentimes, very often, they think of themselves as above other creatures, as above what they really are. But if you look at yourself as a Nivra, as a created being, you can look around you and you can notice that there's a similarity between you and everything else, which is that everything's a created being. So that kind of puts a man's ego in place. And it puts man's place in the universe within a certain perspective. Whereas man tends to overestimate their importance in general, and the ego says, I'm great, I'm special. But the idea is when you see yourself as a Nivra, as a created being, so it gives you a platform to put your ego in place, because you see that you're no different than other things. Everything's a created being. Okay, so when you look at your parents also, when you see your parents, they are the ones that give you the idea or the knowledge that you're a created being, because they were directly involved in your creation. They're shutvinbo. They're involved in your creation. So what's the main concept? So the main concept is that the Torah is trying to demonstrate that true kavod and true yira can only come from a certain perspective of self, of the self. So if a person views themselves in the right perspective as a nivra, and he understands his place in the universe, so then he can have genuine kavod in yira. But without that, without looking at yourself as a nivra, as a created being, and if you think you're above that, or you're special, you're more important, then your kavod and your yira are disingenuous. For example, and that plays a role in terms of your kavod and yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, because if a person thinks that they're mighty, high and mighty, and they have real strength, when they're giving kavod to God, it's not genuine kavod, because it's not coming from the proper perspective. It's not coming from a realistic perspective of the self. It's almost flattery. It's like if I gave a kavod to somebody above me, but I, in the back of my mind, I said to myself, listen, I'm almost as good as that person, but in reality I'm not, so that's not real kavod. The kavod is lacking. It only, kavod and yira are only real kavod, only true honor and fear, if it comes from a realistic perspective. So perhaps the Gemara is saying that the idea is that both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and your parents, they both give man the concept that they're a Nivra, they're a created being, and they give man the ability to recognize their true place and their true perspective of themselves. and kavod and yira are only an outgrowth of that. So the idea is that your parents are just a means of demonstrating a concept to you, which is that you can only give true kavod, true respect, and true yira from the standpoint, from the platform of it being a nivra, of being a created being. So the idea of kibbur avim is not for your parents at all. It has nothing to do with your parents. That's the point of the Gemara, and that's the point of the Gemaras that I brought in. Even if your parents are Rishonim, it doesn't matter. The idea is that they give you they internalize the idea within you that you're a created being, and from there stems true kavod and true yira. So that's the idea. The idea, as I said, the idea is for you. It's to teach you an idea of where yira and kavod should come from. It shouldn't come from an overestimation of the self, because if it does, it's not true yira and kavod. So in that sense, because God and your parents are created you, so that should give man, or that should give a person, the idea, both your parents and God should give man the idea that they're a beria, that they're a created being. And from there comes the platform of respect, and comes the platform of yira. So really the chiyuv of kibbur avim is really for you, it's not for your parents. It has nothing to do with your parents. It has to do with teaching you an idea that you have to have a realistic perspective of self, and only then can you give yira and kavod, proper yira and kavod. You can't give it if you don't have that perspective. Right? Do you accept that? Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions on that concept? Is it clear? Somebody on the phone line say yes or no.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You could clarify it one more time.
Yeah, let me just say it one more time. The idea is that your parents and God, they created you. So from the standpoint of creators, you can't compare your parents to God. But from the standpoint of instilling in you the idea that you're a created being, they both can do that equally. And what's the benefit of that? The benefit of recognizing or seeing yourself as a created being is that it puts your ego in place. Why? Because if you look around you and you see that everything else is a created being and you're no different in that sense, so it puts you or gives you a proper perspective of yourself, and you won't overestimate yourself. And from then, only from there, from that standpoint, can you give true respect and true fear. Because if you overestimate yourself, if you think that you're greater than what you really are, and you give kavod and you give yira, it's not true kavod and true yira, because there's a lack of understanding of your position relative to the being that you're giving kavod to and yira to. That's not true kavod and yira. True kavod and yira can only come from a realistic perspective of the self. And that's the idea of kibbur avim. It's not for them. That's why they can be rishonim. But the idea is that it's supposed to teach you that idea and instill within you the concept that you have to look at yourself as a nivra, as a created being, and only when you do that can kavod and yira come about, true kavod and yira. That occurs both... Hey. Yeah?
Right, so let's say like your parents are crazy, but you still respect them because you're both created beings?
Because you look at your parents and you see that your parents created you. Now you know that you're a created being, and therefore, once you recognize that you're a created being, kavod and yira can come about from that standpoint. So the Torah is mechay of you to give kavod and yira from the framework of being a created being.
I don't really get how that solves the problem if your parents are crazy, though.
Because the point is, no matter what, even if your parents are crazy, they still created you, and you still look at your parents and you say, when you see your parents, they created me, therefore I am a created being. It doesn't matter whether your parents are crazy or not. Your parents still created you. They're still involved in your creation, like the Gemara says. Your parents and God are all shutfin. They're all partners in your creation. Once you see that, regardless of your parents' wisdom or their goodness or their values, that instills within you that concept. I am a created being. I am not a creator. I am not above that. I am created like everything else in this world. Your parents give you that no matter what, whether they're good or bad. You can't deny the fact that your parents created you. It's irregardless of their goodness or their badness or their evilness.
Alright, I got it.
Okay. But that's the point. The point is that from there comes yira and kavod. The Torah is teaching you that you're obligated to give kavod and yira from the framework of looking at yourself as a nivra, as a created being. Because only then can you have true kavod and true yira. It's the same thing by God. It's similar by God also. If a person has an overestimation of themselves, they can't have true kavod and yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have to have the proper view of themselves. So the Gemara is explaining that they're similar in the sense that both when you see God as your creator and you see your parents as your creator, they should both instill a certain sense of being a nivra, And only then, only from that perspective, can Yira and Kavod come about. So that's the comparison.
Yira and Kavod for who?
For both. In other words...
Why does it need to come for them?
But you're not giving... That's the point by your parents. You're not giving Kavod and Yira for them. You're giving Kavod and Yira because the Torah is trying to teach you an idea that Kavod and Yira can only come from looking at yourself as a Nivra. If you don't have the proper perspective of the self, you can't give Kavod and Yira. So the Torah obligated you to give Kavod and Yira to demonstrate to you that looking at yourself as a Nivra is the basis for that. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't deserve it. You get it? It's not like a simple idea. It's a little bit of a deeper idea. But I'm saying it has nothing...
I have a question.
Yes.
Does a person who's adopted have to give Kavod and Yira to his adopted parents, his or her adopted parents?
No, not halachically. Because they're not your...
They don't have that concept.
That's the point. It's only...
From
them. Yes, that's a good raya, that's a good proof. There's no chiyav to give kavod. You should give kavod, but there's no chiyav to give kavod to your adopted parents. Why? Because they don't really instill that concept. They're not really responsible for instilling the idea that you're a nivra, that you're a created being. But if you look at the Rambam, you see that Kavod and Yira, Ava and Yira Sashem stem from that idea, the idea, recognition of the self relative to God. But the self relative to God comes from being a Nivra, being a created being. It's like when you're tall and you see that there's a lot of other tall people around, so you're not so special anymore. Or if you're short and you see there's a lot of other short people, you know, you recognize that you're just one of many. So too, the broadest category of that is created beings, because you look around and everything's created being. So it really puts the person's ego in perspective. Yeah, I think I'm great because I'm tall, but I played on a basketball team where there's five other tall guys. Now that makes me realize that being tall isn't that great. You know, once I have that perspective, only from there can I give proper year on kavod. If I don't recognize that about myself, then my year on kavod, at least for God, certainly, for God, is flawed. It's disingenuous. That's the idea. So the idea of kavod and yira being compared to kavod and yira of God is not from the standpoint of the parents relative to God. It's from the standpoint of both instill the concept of being a nivra in man. And they both give the man the ability to give proper kavod and yira. So the Torah is trying to teach man a lesson. They're trying to teach you where kavod and yira must come from, basically. That the only true kavod and yira for anything other than the self can only come from the proper perspective of the self. Irregardless of the person that you're giving kavod or yira to, or what their level is, or what their goodness is. Okay? Alright, is that idea clear? I mean, I can explain it one more time if anybody needs. All right, but I think that answers the questions, because the main question, this Gemara is strange, so we had all these questions on how do you compare Kavod and Yira of your parents, and Mikala of your parents, to God, and also what's the idea, what's the relationship between the fact that they're all your creators, they're all Shutfin in your creation. So that's the idea of them being Shutfin in your creation is that they all instill this idea in you, and the comparison is that from all three, from God and your parents, your mother and your father, you can recognize the idea that you're created. And from there, you can give true kavod and true yira. But only from that perspective. Okay? Alright. Let's see. Just one other point on this. So, Miriam mentioned an important idea before. So, Miriam mentioned that you see that we give superiority to kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you see, at least, and also Yira, if you've seen a pasuk by Yira, it says, Ishimo vaviv tiro veshapso sai tishmaru ani Hashem elokeichem. So the Mefarshim learn out that if your parents tell you not to keep Shabbos, you don't listen to your parents, but you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? But there's a Tosfos on this Gemara that seems to indicate that having kavod for your parents takes precedence in some ways over having kavod for God. So if you look at number 10 on the source sheet, it's on this Gemara. It says, Kabed es Hashem mehonecha. So it says, B'Yushalmi doresh mehonecha. So in the Yushalmi, the Gemara Yushalmi, it has a drasha of mehonecha, which means your substance, everything that you have. Kemo mechonecha. Mechonecha means everything that God has bestowed upon you. mashma, so it's mashma shehikbid HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kibud avaim. So God is more strict or more makbid on kibud avaim, yoser more so mikvodo from his own kavod. Shebechvodo by his own kavod, hu omer kabedas Hashem mechonecha, that you should honor Hashem your with all your substance, dehainu mechonecha, which means from your what God has bestowed upon you. Demashma mimashe chananach, klomar, meaning to say, im yeshlo mamon, if you have money, chayav, then you're chayav, to the imlav, pater, and if not, you're pater, uvikivad avaim, but by kivad avaim, nemar kabedas avicha vesimecha. It just says kabedas avicha vesimecha, demashma bein sheyeshlo mamon uvein sheinlo, whether the person has money or not. Vehecha delesle, if he doesn't have mamon, chayav lechazer al psachim, he has to go ask for money from people's houses, lazonis aviv vesimo, to be able to provide for his parents. So Tosos here, he's saying that from the Psukim and from a drush in the Yushalmi, it's mashmo that having respect for your parents takes precedence in a certain sense over having respect for your for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it goes based on what you have. If you have money, then you respect them with the money. But if you don't, you're not chayev to ask for money to respect God. Or at least, let's say, to buy a Dvar Mitzvah, for example, that would or to buy a korban. You're not chayv to go mechazer al psachim, but by your parents you are. So Miriam asked the question. You see from that there are situations where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod takes precedence and yira takes precedence. But Tosfos over here, he's saying that in a certain sense, in some sense, there's a superiority of kavod for your parents over God, over kavod for God. So how could that be? How is that possible? How could it be that there's a superiority of kavod for your parents over God? So I want to tie it back to the idea that we just said. So the idea is that we said that both from the standpoint of looking at yourself in the proper perspective as a nivra, your parents and God, they both do that to a person. They both instill that idea in a person. But with regard to your parents, it's more real to a person in a certain sense, because when you see your parents every day, and you have that perspective on a more constant, consistent basis. So I would say that maybe according to Tosfos, philosophically, your parents have more of an ability to instill that idea of being a nivra more than God. Because God, it's more abstract. Yeah, a person studies nature, he observes nature. But with your parents, you see them on a daily basis, and you interact with them more. So from a certain standpoint, it's more important that you give kavod to your parents, because they instill that idea of being a nivra more so than God. Because on a practical level, you encounter your parents more often, and on a practical level, you're able to understand the concept of being a nivra more powerfully from your parents as from God. So in that sense, there's more of an obligation to give kavod to your parents than God. So obviously, if there's a conflict, you give precedence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the idea that the Tosfos is saying is that God wants man to give more kavod to his parents, because there's a recognition that your parents give you or instill the idea of kavod in yira, which is the idea of being a nivra, more so than God, because you interact with your parents more often and you see them more often. It's more real to you. It's a more real idea with your parents. All right, so we're going to do, let's see, I'm trying to think of whether we should skip and go do Lamani Arichun Yamecha, or we should do one more possibility, or one more idea. I brought down the Chinuch, and, we're going to skip. We're going to do Lamani Arichun Yamecha, okay? So, another question that we had on the Pasuk is the idea of why it leads to a long life and a good life, as opposed to any other mitzvah. What is it about this mitzvah that leads us to a long life and a good life? So if you look at this Gemara in Kiddushin on number 12, the Gemara in Kiddushin is where all the Gemaras on Kibud Avaim emerge. So if you look at number 12, it says, I took out this Brisa, but it says, Desanya Rabbi Yaakov Omer. So this is Rabbi Yaakov Shita. Ein lecha kol mitzvah u mitzvah sheksuva batorah shematan schara betzida. So anytime, Rabbi Yaakov's shita is that anytime it says a reward by a mitzvah, it's a reference to a reward in Olam Haba. That's what Tchiyas HaMesim is referring to. If you look at Rashi, he explains, number 13, Shein Tchiyas HaMesim Tzuya, Ba'osa Matan Tzchar, with regard to that Tzchar, L'hodiyacha, to teach you, Shein Matan Tzchar Ela L'Olam Haba, to teach you that the real Tzchar only occurs in the next world. So his shita is that whenever it says a reward in the Torah, it's always referring to a reward in the next world. The Kibarava Aim Ksiv, by Kibarava Aim it says, Laman yarichun yamecha, laman yitav lach, so that you have a long life and that you have a good life. Veshiluach hakein, with regard to sending the mother away when you take the eggs, ksiv, laman yitav lach vaharachta yamem. It says in order that it be good for you and you have a long life. Okay, so hareisha amar lo aviv. So let's say your father says, Allah labira, go up on the ladder, the havili gozlos, and bring me these young birds. The Allah Labira, the son goes up, the Shalach HaSa'im, he does the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, and he sends the mother away. The Natal Sabanim, he takes the children. Uvachazi Raso, when he returns, Nafal Umes, he dies. Okay? Heichan Tovus Yomov Shalzeh, where do you see the promise of the Torah of Tovus Yomov? The Heichan Arichus Yomov Shalzeh, and where do you see the long life that this person lived? Ella, rather, Laman Yitavlach, so what does it mean, Laman Yitavlach? La'olam Shekulo Tov. It's referring to the olam, the world that's all good. Ulaman yarichun yamecha la'olam shekula aruch. It's referring to the world, the existence that is everlasting. Okay, so the Gemara says v'dimolav hachi hava. Maybe this didn't happen. Rashi says v'dimolav hava hachi in number 13. Lo yara hadavar. This never happened. Hazeh la'olam. This never happened at all. Elamarichin yamav ushnosav. Rather, you know, this hypothetical story never happened, and really, in reality, you will live a long life if you do these mitzvos. So the Gemara says, Rav Yaakov Maisa Chaza. So that Rav Yaakov, he saw this story happen. And he saw that this son had went and he did this mitzvah. He was doing Kibbutz Avim, and B, he was doing Shiluach HaKein, and he ended up dying. So that's a pretty big raya that the Torah isn't literal, and the Torah is referring to Olam Haba. Okay? So, but we still have a question. I mean, every mitzvah contributes to Olam Haba. So why is this mitzvah specified in reference to getting the reward of Olam Haba as opposed to any other mitzvah? Fine, it's good to say, we understand now that Arichus Yamim, at least according to this Gemara, isn't a reference to the physical world, and it's a reference to Olam Haba. But still, I mean, every mitzvah contributes to a life of Olam Haba. We say Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lahem Chelek Olam Haba. So what is it about this mitzvah which somehow is tied to Olam Haba more so than any other mitzvah? Okay. Anybody? Possibility? Somebody's about to speak up on the phone line. All right, or not? Okay. So yeah, Mary.
I mean, I don't know.
It's okay.
I mean, it's one thing. It's easy to do, but at the same time, it's very easy to go wrong with.
Okay.
So it could just be, you know, like.
You're saying it's more difficult, so the Torah is saying because it's more difficult, so that's why your reward's greater, or at least, I mean, but it's still, the same question emerges. I mean, every mitzvah, the whole Torah is perfects a person and helps them get Olam Haba. So what is it about this mitzvah that's tied to Olam Haba more specifically?
Just because it's, you know, like, tiny things that we don't even notice that, you know, like that's, it's like you can go wrong and not even notice it and think that you're, I don't know.
Okay.
I can give you an example, I don't know, but like. Okay.
Well, let's say we tie it into the, I want to tie it into the concept that we just gave. If the concept is true, it should fit into this idea, right? So the concept that we gave about Kibbutz Avim is that it's supposed to give man the proper perspective of the self, you know? So in terms of being a created being. So if you look at what Olam Haba is, if you look at the Rambam in number 14, the Rambam explains that Olam Haba is not a physical, I'm not going to read it inside, just certain parts, but it's not a physical existence, it's a non-physical existence. And the person is being supported, it says, one second, let me find it. It says, Ela tzadikim yoshvim ba'atrosam baroshan v'nenin meziv ashchina. So the way it's described is tzaddikim, they're sitting with their crowns on their heads and they get hamna, they get benefit from the ziv hashchina. So you see that in Olam Haba, there's an idea of man being dependent on God and having to, having and being supported by God or being benefited directly by God. So the idea is that having the proper perspective of the self relative to God, which is the idea we said tied to Kibud Av V'Aim, is an idea that exists in Olam Haba. Because the idea is that in Olam Haba, man is really completely dependent on God, and they're getting benefit from the Ziv HaShechina. They're constantly in the presence of God. So if in Olam Haba that is the case, man or the soul must have the proper perspective of themselves relative to God in order to gain the most benefit from Olam Haba. So the idea of at least of Kibud Av V'Aim being tied to Olam Haba is that Kibud Av V'Aim instills the concept of man's perspective of the self, or proper perspective of the self relative to God. And the idea is in Olam Haba, at least, man is more dependent on God, and his presence before God, in terms of his presence before God, it's necessary to have there is a proper perspective there, because he's dependent on God and he is constantly in the presence of God. So the idea is that it's an idea that this instilling this concept in the soul, in the nefesh of a person, is somewhat tied to the idea of Olam Haba, or gaining the most benefit in Olam Haba. Because the idea is that if a person's in the presence of God, they have to have the proper, or at least the soul of man has to have the proper perspective of the self. I can't go any further than that. I mean, I think that's the idea. I think the idea is that in Olam Haba, man, because of man's dependency on God, and because of the fact that it says, like the Rambam says, they're in the presence of God constantly, there has to be a proper perspective of the self relative to God. So I think the ideas tie into one another. Anybody need clarification on that idea, or maybe it's not clear? All right, fine. So we're running out of time here, so I'm just going to just break down the ideas that we said. They're not like the simplest ideas, but the main idea we said about Kibud Av V'Aim is that the idea of Kibud Av V'Aim being similar to Kvod Shamayim is not an idea in the wisdom or the chachma, at least by your parents, that they reflect onto you, or you don't see the same wisdom in your parents' creation of you as you do by God. But both your parents and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they both instill the concept that you are a created being equally. And sometimes, even like Tosfos says, your parents could have a more powerful effect on in terms of instilling that concept. Now, what's the benefit of that concept? It puts man's ego in the proper perspective, and only from that perspective can kavod and yira come about, or true kavod and yira come about. And that obviously parallels or translates into kavod and yira of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But both your parents and God both instill that idea of being a nivra, of being a created being. So that seems to be the main philosophy, or at least one. I'm not obviously explaining every shita, but this could be a philosophical idea or premise of Kibud Av V'Aim, because it explains the Gemara and explains why, even if your parents are evil, you still are chayv to give kavod to them and yira to them. Because even if your parents are evil, they still instill the idea that you're a created being within you, and that should give a person the platform to give kavod and yira. And the last idea is L'man Yarichun Yamecha, which is that the idea of Kibud Av V'Aim is supposed to give man a proper perspective of themselves, and that also translates, as we said, to a proper perspective of themselves relative to God. So the idea is that in Olam Haba, where there's no physical existence and man is completely sustained by God and they're constantly in the presence of God, that perspective is completely necessary in order to gain the benefits of Olam Haba to at least be in the optimal level of Olam Haba. Man has to have the proper perspective of themselves relative to God. So I think that's just one idea in Kibud Av V'Aim, and obviously I'm not saying that's the only idea in Kibud Av V'Aim, but maybe this is an idea in Kibud Av V'Aim, and possibly it explains this Gemara and all the questions that we had on Kibud Av V'Aim on the area. All right, does anybody have any questions on the shiur? All right, so everybody have a good night, and I guess we'll reconvene next week. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.